Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, April 28th, 2015. Let me begin the program by sharing a prayer request. As last night, Pastor Kevin Shear, he's from Rantoul, sings with the Singing Men of GNN. He got up during a rehearsal, went out in the hallway. Next thing we knew, one of the guys ran in and said he's unconscious on the floor. So we called 911, and in those few minutes, he was revived to some degree. And I haven't gotten an update of how his health is. But this is the second or third time that either during or after a Singing Men concert, we had to call emergency medics to attend to his needs. And he's had a few different heart attacks and other health issues, and so I'd ask that you'd keep Kevin in your prayers. We're going to jump right in where we left off yesterday as Nikki Gumbel was presenting on the topic, How Can I Make the Most of the Rest of My Life? He laid out the importance of breaking with the past, making a new start, and today we'll talk about some supportive and uplifting relationships and being urged in view of God's mercy to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, as this is our spiritual act of worship. Here's Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, addressing the topic, How Can I Make the Most of the Rest of My Life?
There's also such a thing as spiritual warfare. The moment you give your life to Christ, the moment you begin to experience the Holy Spirit in your life, and move in that direction, you're bound to feel a little bit of a tug in the opposite direction. That's why on week 7 we look at the whole subject of spiritual warfare. How can I resist evil? So what matters is not what you experience or don't experience, but the long term. It's like in marriage. Some people have great honeymoons and some people don't have great honeymoons. But what's important is having a great marriage. I have some friends who, on their honeymoon, they both got so badly burnt that they couldn't touch each other. It was the first day of the honeymoon they both got so badly burnt. They couldn't touch each other for the rest of the 2 weeks. I was talking to someone this morning whose grandparents, on their honeymoon, they went on a barge and the barge sank the first night. And they had to bail themselves out and then they had to get a bus home. But 61 years later, they're very happily married. That's what matters. Next, harmonious relationships. Look at some of the words in verses 9 to 21. Love, joy, patience, faithfulness, generosity, hospitality, blessing, rejoicing, harmony, humility, peace. Where good is not overcome by evil, but evil is overcome by good. These are some of the treasures which God has in store for us. But in order to receive that, we have to leave behind the rubbish. Break with the past. Make a new start. How do we do this? St. Paul says here, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is an act of the will, to offer all of ourselves to God, all of our lives. That means giving God our time. Our time is our most valuable possession. Giving him all of our time doesn't mean we spend all of our time reading the Bible and praying. Of course, our jobs are also our vocation. It's a very important part of our Christian calling, our work, and everything else that we're involved in. But one of the things I think that happens is when we say to the Lord, Lord, you can have everything. You can have all of my time. Is that our priorities change. It's easy to get our priorities a little bit wrong. I came across something that, this was a genuine advert in the East African Standard. And actually a friend of mine saw this advert when it first came out in the personal columns. It was a farmer who was looking for a potential wife. And this is how he advertised. He was from Kenya, Nanyuki. It said this, Nanyuki farmer seeks lady with tractor. With view to companionship and possible marriage. Please send picture of tractor. I think one of the things that happens when we give everything to the Lord is that people become much more important than possessions and things, even if that wasn't the case beforehand. And, of course, our relationships become of supreme importance. Number one, our relationship with God. I don't think that if you say, where am I going to be in 10 years' time? I don't think there's any chance that you're going to be still in a relationship with God unless you communicate. All relationships break down if there's no communication. So spending time with God in prayer, in reading the Bible. Personally, there's no law about this, but I would really recommend from my own personal experience starting the day by reading this book and by praying. I think however we start the day, it kind of has an impact on the rest of the day. Secondly, with the church, other Christians, the body of Christ. I don't know whether you've had this experience at all yet. You come along on a Wednesday night and you think, oh, I really feel quite excited about this. I really enjoyed it. And then as the week goes on, that feeling kind of declines. And the following Wednesday, you're thinking, I'm not sure I'm going to go back this week. You think, well, maybe I'll go back. And you come back and you think, oh, it's quite fun. Quite like this. And then the following week, it kind of declines. You know why that is? Because we need one another. It's in the community that our faith blossoms and grows. Next, we give to the Lord our ambitions. Sometimes people say, should a Christian be ambitious? Jesus' answer to that question? Yes. In fact, Jesus commands us to be ambitious. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be yours as well. In other words, get your priorities right. Get your number one ambition right. And all the other things that people chase after will be yours as well. But don't make those things your number one ambition, because they're not worthy of being made our number one ambition. There are some people, aren't there, who you say, well, what do you want to achieve in life? Well, I want to make a lot of money. That's my aim in life. I want to make lots and lots of money. But, I mean, isn't that a bit of a sad ambition? I mean, what's the point? You make £1 million. Exciting. Now what do? Oh, well, I can make £2 million. £10 million. Get to £10 million. Now what do? Ooh, £11 million. I mean, what is the point? You get to your end of your life, and God says to you, what did you do with your life? Oh, I made £11.5 million in my life. Look, here it all is. God says, great. We can play Monopoly in heaven. What is the point? Other people, you know, the whole of life is focused on fame or success or power or status. They say, I want to be the chairman of a major public corporation. I want to be the chairman of ICI or BP or General Electric. I want to be the governor of the Bank of England. What a pathetic ambition. Isn't that sad? I mean, so what? When you get to heaven, what did you do with your life? I was the governor of the Bank of England. Wow. We haven't had one of those here before. What is the point? It's pathetic. It's pointless. Now, as a secondary ambition, it's wonderful. If you're saying, my priority is to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and I think the way to do that is to have an influence on society, and I want to be the governor of the Bank of England in order to make a difference to people's lives, then it's a noble ambition. It's a wonderful thing to want to do. Or to make lots of money in order to give it away, to make a difference. That's great. But simply in itself, it's pointless. Our money. We give to the Lord our money. There's no ban on private property or making money or saving it or enjoying the good things in life. But what is wrong is the selfish accumulation for ourselves, an unhealthy obsession with money. Putting our trust in riches. And that just brings perpetual insecurity and leads us away from God. And the way to break that kind of thing is genuine giving, generous giving, which is the appropriate response to God's generosity. And it's the way to break materialism in our lives. We give to God our ears, what we listen to. Do we listen to gossip or do we listen to what will build us up? Our eyes. Do we look with jealousy or lust? Or do we look at people through God's eyes? How can I bring God's blessing to that person? Our mouths. James says in James chapter 3, he talks about the mouth being such a powerful instrument. He says, with your tongue, you can destroy someone. How many people can look back to something that was said to them, maybe at school or by a parent or by somebody, that cut them and maybe has had a negative influence on their whole life? On the other hand, think what encouraging words do. Our hands. Do we use them to take or to serve? Our sexuality for our own gratification, or do we reserve it for the good and pleasure of our marriage partners? You can't pick and choose. St. Paul says, present your bodies. And you know what? This is the extraordinary paradox. If we live for ourselves, we find ourselves in bondage, in slavery. But if we present everything to God, we find freedom. So he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Sacrifice means that there will be a cost. William Barclay wrote, Jesus came not to make life easy, but to make people great. If you want an easy life, if you want a life of ease, please don't become a Christian, because it's not easy being a Christian. But if you want a great life, a fulfilling life, life at all its best, life at its best, then follow Jesus. We may have to give up stuff that we quite like and we'd like to hold on to. Actually, long term, it's only rubbish that God asks us to give up. But sometimes giving up the rubbish is hard. And it's, to some extent, it's a lifelong struggle, giving up the rubbish. Some of it we put away immediately, but sometimes we struggle in our lives just to get rid of it. But we need to do that. Second thing is, we have to be willing to fly his flag in what can be quite a hostile world. I don't know what will happen when you get into work on Monday morning. And someone says to you, do you have a good weekend? Yeah, great weekend. Thank you very much. Oh, what did you do? Oh, well, I went to the country. Oh, really? Where'd you go? Sussex. Whereabouts in Sussex? Near Chichester. Oh, really? I know Chichester quite well because my parents are down there. Where were you? Oh, this place is called Bracklesham Bay. You probably won't have heard of it. Oh, I know Bracklesham Bay quite well. Where were you in Bracklesham Bay? Oh, just in Bracklesham Bay, really. Isn't that the place where there's that New Horizon, that kind of pontoon site? Isn't that in... were you anywhere near that? Well, actually, I was in it. What were you doing in a pontoon site? I went with a few friends. How many friends did you go with? Well, 300 friends. What were you doing with 300 friends in a pontoon site for the weekend? Well, I'm on this, Alpha Course. Alpha Course? What's an Alpha Course? Well, it's kind of, Christian. Ah! I have to. I don't know what the response will be. But they won't kill you. They won't put you in prison. Many people around the world, once they say they're a Christian, they're in danger of imprisonment, or even in some places, death. More people have died for their faith in Christ in this, well, in the 20th century, than in all the other centuries put together. So it's not always easy to be a Christian. Why should we do it? First of all, because of what God has planned for our lives. Verse 2. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. One of the things that I think is almost demonic is the kind of false view of God that so often, certainly I had a totally false view of God before I was a Christian. I thought God was a kind of spoil sport. God was the kind of person that if you gave your life to him, he would destroy it. He'd take away all the things that were fun and good in our lives. How absurd that is. God loves us far more than we even love our own children. God's will for our lives is the best. It's pleasing. It will please us long term. That doesn't mean to say it's going to be easy or problem-free. And Christians go through suffering and difficulties as much as anybody else. And in addition, they have to share in the sufferings of Christ, the rejection and so on, that sometimes happens in the world. So it's not that it's problem-free. But long-term, at the end of our life, we'll say, I'm pleased that I did this. And it's perfect. We can't improve on God's will for us. Sometimes I think, we think, we can do better than God. I suppose in a sense that's the essence of sin. It's a kind of independence. When children were younger, one of my sons came home from school one time, and he'd been asked to make this poster for a Roman slave market, and he spent all weekend on it. He really worked hard on it. It was beautiful what he produced. He got a lovely italic pen and he wrote on it, and he produced this wonderful poster for this Roman slave market. And then he said at the end of the weekend, on Sunday afternoon, he said, now what we've been told is we need to make this look like a parchment, and the way to do that is to hold it over a very low gas flame. You just burn these holes and it makes brown marks and it makes it look like a parchment. So my wife Pippa said, oh, that's great. Let's do it together. I'll help you. He said, no, I'd like to do it on my own. She said, well, it's quite difficult, you know, fire and paper. it might be a good idea if we did it together. He said, no, I want to do it on my own. Well, there was about that much left of it and lots of tears. But the good news is there was time to do it again. And this time he said, Mum, would you give me a hand with this? And you may feel that about your life. I've made a bit of a mess. There's this much left. And the good news is God is a God of the second chance and the third chance and the 100th chance. And we can start all over again. And this time we can say to the Lord, Lord, for the rest of my life, could we do it together? So we do it because of what God has planned for our future, and secondly, because of what God has done for us. His amazing love, his gifts to us, the only adequate response. Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. And that's really a summary of chapters 1 to 11 of the book of Romans. All of that God has done for us. And the little sacrifices that we may have to make for him are nothing compared to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that God made for us in Christ on the cross. And when we look at the cross, we see how much God loves us. And if God was willing to do that for us, it's absurd not to trust him with all the other things in our lives. St. Paul wrote this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I heard about a wealthy English baron called Fitzgerald. This man had one son. And his son left home, and while he was away from home, he died. And this wealthy man never got over the loss of his son. And as his wealth increased, he invested in old masters, valuable paintings. When he died, his will called for all the paintings to be sold. And because he had such a great collection, collectors, museums came from all over the world, and a crowd gathered. On the day of the auction, the lawyer read from his will. And what it said was this: the first painting to be sold in this auction is of my beloved son. It was by an unknown painting. It was poor quality. The only person who even bothered to bid for it was somebody who'd worked for the family and who'd known the boy and had loved him, and he bought it for sentimental value and for the memories it held. Then the lawyer read the second clause of the will. Whoever buys my son gets everything. The auction is over. St. Paul said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Whoever buys my son gets everything.
Dear listener, that son who is accessible, available, and all-powerful to redeem you and give you hope is Jesus Christ. If you know him, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. If you don't know him, allow this to be the day you find new life in him. There are some wonderful people that will take your call right now to share with you how to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and they would love to answer your questions, pray with you, or share more about the Christian faith and who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this ends the Alpha Course. This was our 12th session, broken into Monday and Tuesdays during Mark and Friends for the last few months. So I hope you were blessed by the many topics that were covered, from is there more to this life than this, to who is Jesus, why did Jesus die, how can we have faith, why and how do I pray, why and how should I read the Bible, how does God guide us, how can I resist evil, why and how should we tell others, does God heal today, what about the church? And yesterday in today's topic, how can I make the most out of the rest of my life? All these programs and topics featuring Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, are archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Before I close out, once more I must say thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast, heard on Great News Radio, was produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Tomorrow, co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel will join me in the studio, and we'll be talking a little about the 2020 challenge as we've worked through about 5 or 6 draft editions of a flyer that'll explain the 2020 challenge, lay out the vision for this radio ministry, and hopefully be a noteworthy item that you'll enjoy reading, sharing with your friends, and praying over in the days ahead. So that's tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.